is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As a leader in the mortgage industry, the Mortgage Specialists proudly offer some of the lowest rates available. When you work with an expert from the Mortgage Specialists, you can rest assured knowing that you are working with someone who truly cares about you. Are you unsure about which loan option is right for you? By giving the Mortgage Specialists a call today, they would be more than happy to schedule either an in-home or in-branch consultation. They will get to know you and your finances to learn more about how they can help you with your loan option that is best for you and your situation. To learn more or schedule your first consultation, contact the Mortgage Specialist today at 877-411-0123. That's 877-411-0123. TheMortgageSpecialists.com.
Living paycheck to paycheck is hard. I'm always trying to cut expenses. Finding out how to lower my energy bills with Ambit is a huge help, and now I'm on my way to free energy.
Start saving today at ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. That's ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. You've seen the billboards and heard the radio show. Now it's time to examine the evidence for yourself at stateofcorruption.org. Independent gubernatorial candidate Mike Gill has dedicated himself to rooting out corruption here in New Hampshire, the state of corruption. And it's up to us all to help by learning and getting involved. Watch the videos, see the evidence, hear the audio, and judge for yourself at stateofcorruption.org. Sponsored by the Mortgage Specialist. stateofcorruption.org.
IPM Nation is proud to be sponsored by Uptown Auto Repair, located in Manchester, New Hampshire at 578 Mast Road. Phone number is 603-625-8026. Have you ever heard of a mechanic that guarantees their work? Well, now you have with Uptown Auto Repair, 603-625-8026.
IPMNation.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We are live. It is July 7th, 2016. A little bit after 11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. Counting down as far as our time on OTR-FM. We're going to be on OTR-FM for tonight, of course, and then Tuesday and Thursday of next week. And then that's it. Of course, you can continue to hear the show five nights a week. Live on IPM Nation 2 at 11 p.m. Eastern, plus the television edition, of course, on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. I was on Dr. Kevin's show earlier, aptly titled The Dr. Kevin Show, and he kind of put it out there that it's funny. I wouldn't have mentioned this on the air if he hadn't already, because it's not my place to certainly make any kind of announcements about his show, but I was surprised to hear him say live that he's not sure yet what's going to be his future as far as doing his show on OM Times Radio. He's on OM Times 1. I'm on OTR-FM, the premium channel on the OM Times Radio Network. But he isn't sure. He might bring his show over here to IPM Nation officially. But he's been a part of the IPM Nation family really from the beginning. He's an IPM Nation original. I actually met him. I've known Dr. Kevin a long time. I met him back before we launched IPM Nation. So he isn't sure. He'll know more tomorrow. But we do have the Joe Show coming over officially from OM Times, and you know, like I've been saying, very grateful for the opportunity to be on OM Times Radio. But we are, you know. We've been going through a lot of changes and really a lot of great things happening with IPM Nation, and it continues to grow. And OM Times is going to be changing some things as well and reformatting some things. And I'm not privy to all the details of how that's going to work. But and, you know, like I said, they did ask us to stay if we wanted to, but it would be kind of a different scenario than what exists now. So So like I said, you know, for anyone who's curious, the split is amicable. There's no dirt there or anything like that. So we will part as friends. So next week will be our last week officially on Ohm Times Radio. And then going forward, you can hear us exclusively, or at least for the short term exclusively, on IPM Nation 2. But who knows where we may syndicate the show out to in the future. Let's see. Of course, I want to remind everybody, we are live from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire, powered by Ambit Energy. If you want to learn how to save on your energy bills, go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. You could be on your way to free energy. And, of course, we're sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists. You can go to themortgagespecialists.com. If you're in the market for a home, that's a very good idea to consult with those folks. They can do that. They can come to you, or you can schedule something at one of their offices, themortgagespecialists.com. Last night on the show, if you missed it, we had a pretty raucous couple of days here on Unleashed. Tuesday. I'm in the habit of talking about Wednesday when I talk about the television edition. Tuesday night, Sean Michelonis, who is running for the executive council here in New Hampshire, came back onto the show, brought his friend Drew with him, who I guess is his campaign manager. And Slicko called into the show, and it got pretty heated, pretty entertaining. It is up on YouTube now on the IPM Nation channel if you want to check that out. And then last night, Slicko actually was with me for he called into the radio edition here, and not even the full hour. It was more like we went long. I think the show is about an hour and 20 total, but it was pretty funny. And, you know, it started out talking about the first of the two shootings that happened, the one that happened in Baton Rouge. We talked about that. I think we spent about 30 minutes on that. And then we kind of shifted gears and talked some more about Sean Michelonis. Slicko had some things that Sean had said after Slicko hung up the other day on the television edition that he wanted to rebut. And it was pretty entertaining. So, very, very lively couple of days here on the show. And if anyone would like to call tonight, we have a phone line open for you, 617-917-4IPM. That's IPM as in IPM Nation, 617-917-4476. You can call or text. We have the chat room up at ipmnation.com/live2. You can tweet me anytime at Matt Connerton. You can post on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page and try to keep an eye on all that during the show. So it's been an interesting week so far. And then tomorrow night, we're going to debut Slicko's new track, which will apparently is going to be featuring some of the audio from the television show Tuesday night of Sean Michelonis. Slicko's going to make him famous with this track. I just know it. So, and then next Tuesday, Sean Michelonis is coming back on to Unleashed, and maybe we'll get into some other issues. There was a lot that I wanted to ask him. That I wanted to ask Mr. Michelonis that I was not able to get to this past week. So I just said to him after the show, you can come back if you want. And he said, can I bring Drew? And I said, sure. And that's going to be Tuesday. There's a lot of postings on Facebook, by the way, about Tuesday night's show and the aftermath of such. And yeah, Slicko's been pretty active. He also called out this guy, Joey D. Young, somebody? This rapper that apparently a lot of people really hate, including Slicko, who I guess was managed or is currently managed by Sean Michelonis. I don't know. It's interesting because Sean is, he's a politician. He's running for office, and he's held office before. He did one term as a New Hampshire state rep, but he's also very much a part of the local hip-hop scene, or at least tries to be. And so he knows a lot of people in hip-hop. And that's actually how he and Slicko met, and that's actually how I met Sean, was through Slicko. Sean had been on Slicko's show and then made his first appearance on my show back on May 4th, and then came back this week. So, you know, I try to be fair and not take sides, but obviously Slicko is also, like Dr. Kevin, Slicko, I think, is an IPM Nation original. I think he's been with us at least since almost the beginning. So he's been with us a long time. And, of course, you know, I certainly consider him a good friend as well. So, you know, if I had to take sides, my loyalty is with Slicko. But I try to just kind of, you know, when this is going on the show, I try to just kind of sit back a little bit and just kind of let it happen. You know, some people, I know that Tuesday night on the TV show, Slicko kind of went a little long there, which he apologized for last night. He said, "I'm sorry for going all Howie G when you were trying to kind of redirect things." I said, "That's okay." There's another great moment in IPM Nation history in terms of actually this show, the great debate between Slicko and his stepfather, Howie G. You can find that at IPMNation.com. So we archive everything. So, yeah, things have been pretty exciting lately. Well, we're already up against the first break, so we'll take this break. We'll come back. I'm not even sure where we're going next. We've got two major stories that I want to try to get to. One, obviously, the police shootings, and the other, Hillary, because the FBI has announced their findings, and Loretta Lynch, of course, said she would accept whatever the FBI's findings were. That does not mean that this particular debacle is over for Hillary. It appears to be far from over. There's still a lot of things in play. I still think my prediction is, regardless of any of it, that she will be our next president. But and I have many reasons why I think so. But we'll take a break and we'll be right back. More Unleashed coming up. Stay with me.
Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
IPMNation.com.
Focus, man. I swear, focus. Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live. And, you know, it's funny. I wasn't necessarily going to go to this next, but. So I'm hearing the promo spot that was playing for, you know, OM Times and Humanity Healing and thinking about all the good work that they do, and that's wonderful, and that's one of the things that's been nice about being a part of OM Times, but it just kind of it just coincidentally, it got me thinking about. As I was hearing that promo, it got me thinking about a conversation that I had earlier today. And the circumstances around it, which I'll talk about briefly. So this afternoon I had to go down to MPTS, our television affiliate here that we work with, which is where, Matt Connerton Unleashed the Television Edition. That's where we broadcast the show from. And that's how we do it. That and, Rock, Paper, Hand Grenades, another show that I do. And of course, Ward 13 with John Hopwood. These all happen at MPTS. And I had to go there this afternoon to get a file. And while I was there, I had a really interesting conversation with Joe Lahr, who works there. He's one of the employees there. And he sent me an email, something very interesting regarding the FBI's decision not to recommend prosecution of Hillary Clinton and whatnot, something that leaked and was kind of under the radar, something that leaked online that kind of was actually before Comey's announcement. I think July 2nd is when he said this leaked, and he forwarded the email to me. Now, you know, we'll look at it. I haven't had a chance to read this entire thing, and we'll have to take it with a grain of salt because it's sort of takes us down that conspiracy theory road, which, you know, I'm willing to, you know, as you know, I mean, I keep an open mind about all that stuff. And there are conspiracies. I mean, you know, there are things that sometimes we find out later were in fact conspiracies. So I keep an open mind about all that. But even Joe said, he said, look, I don't know if this is legit. But we'll come back to what that is in a moment. So while I was there, and we were talking about that, this other gentleman, Jason, walked in, Jason Cody, and he's in charge of the whole thing there. He's the, I don't know, general manager. I don't know if that's his official title, but he's Joe's boss and he runs the whole thing. So he happened to walk in and, he had already seen the email but he walked into the conversation and he was saying that, and this is where this ties into, you know, thinking about the good work that Humanity Healing does and Ohm Times. He said, you know, what's funny about the Clinton Foundation is, you know, we're all aware that there's this thing called the Clinton Foundation or this other thing, CGI, the Clinton Global Initiative, which I assume are connected. And what's odd is how much, like, when do you ever actually hear about anything that they actually do? See, you know, we're all aware that this thing exists, right? And it's supposed to be this charity organization, I guess, or they're, I don't know, building schools in Africa or something, or I don't know, whatever it is that they're supposedly doing. But how come you never actually really see any of that? You know? It's never in the news. Oh, the Clinton Foundation, look, they're doing this and this is great. And, you know, what are they actually doing? We know that they have all this money. And we know that Hillary Clinton was not particularly good about separating. And this, by the way, we knew this before the whole thing with the emails anyway. People who worked at the State Department have said this about her. She did not keep a strict separation between the Clinton Global Initiative and, which actually is kind of a creepy sounding thing. It sounds like it's like some sort of master plan to take over the world. It sounds very sort of NWO, New World Order, doesn't it? But she did not keep a clear delineation between Clinton Global Initiative and Clinton whatever, their business, and State Department business. She did not keep the two separate. Or if she made any attempt to, she didn't try very hard. And so we already knew that. I think that was kind of an open secret. But what do they do? Like, where is all that money going and what is it being used for? And Jason just kind of was pointing out, you know, doesn't it make you wonder? And I said, you know, that's a really good point. So maybe, you know, it just takes a little digging to figure that out. But I thought that was interesting. Now, as far as the email itself, I'll tell you exactly what Joe sent me. And I haven't had a chance to look too deep into it yet. I need to go through and read the entire thing. But I just kind of scanned through it right before the show and just found what kind of looks like a highlight to me. So it's what was leaked, allegedly, if this is real. And like I said, Joe acknowledged this may not be legit at all. Someone could have easily just put this together and, you know, just to fool people. But it's an anonymous chat in 4chan. And if you don't know what 4chan is, and I'm no expert, but it's something where people can chat anonymously. I guess it's supposed to be untraceable. So I guess the idea is, and it's in very, very small print on this email. But I guess the idea is that at least one of the people in this conversation, in this anonymous chat on 4chan, works for the FBI or some level of government. But allegedly this was leaked from the FBI. So here's kind of a sampling of what's in here. How deep is Obama involved in all this? Does she kill people? She, I assume, referring to Hillary. Must be how he's made so many predictions about Brussels and the like. He has bought special access into what's really going on with the global war on terror. I assume that's maybe referring to Trump. Impeachment level involved. People have a way of dying around her. Trump has very good people advising and leaking to him. I will put it to you this way. You have three choices. I have to get closer to the screen with the mic. This is an extremely small print. I'll blow this up before the next show so we can get into this deeper, but this is interesting. Okay. This sounds like it's right out of a movie. I will put it to you this way. You have three choices. A, turn over all the information to the DOG, make public a recommendation. The truth comes out. The entire world realizes how much the U.S. is meddling in foreign affairs, and we go to war. The civilian population realizes how much foreign money influences our government, and a civil war begins. B, you cherry-pick the data to implicate the people already in the eye of public opinion. So the chips fall on the heads of a select few and the whole system does not crash. Or C, you do nothing and watch the unstable political climate to gauge how you will respond. I am confident if Trump wins, she will be going to jail. The FBI doesn't recommend to indict. What kind of reaction should we expect from within the FBI? Will anyone resign? Is Snowden tied up in all this somehow? There's more, obviously. That's just a very small sample of what's in here. But now Joe had already read the entire thing. And here's what he explained to me. If this is legit, what the conversation ultimately seems to indicate is a concern that if Comey had said, if he had said that we recommend an indictment, and there had actually been a trial, you know, with full discovery and all that, you know, actual evidence, you know, all the evidence presented and investigated and whatnot, what would have come out of that would have been World War III, because the reason she had the multiple servers, again, this is Joe's kind of synopsis of it. The reason she had the multiple servers was because a lot of information was being stored, gathered, data mined, both from and for foreign governments who we're not necessarily supposed to be involved in, but are involved in through back channels. And the truth would be so shocking that the entire world would turn against the United States. And we would end up in World War III. And Jason, who had also already read this, his view on it was, well, maybe, again, assuming this is legit, well, maybe that's what would happen, maybe not. Whereas Joe seemed to feel, yeah, this is probably, if everything that is implicated here is true, that is probably what it would lead to. So what I'll do is probably tomorrow, I'll go through this entire thing. Actually, I'm going to figure out a way to blow it up bigger, and then I'll go through the entire thing and read it. Because it's interesting stuff. And I'll kind of give you a better synopsis of what I think. But it's, like I said, it might not even be legit. But it's allegedly it leaked before Comey's announcement that he was not indicting. So who knows? Who knows? Actually, today, James Comey, FBI director, went in front of Congress and got to testify about why he decided to recommend not indicting Hillary Clinton, which is something that most of us have been pretty outraged about. His recommendation not to indict. And it really kind of feeds that narrative. You know, the Clintons, they think they're above the law and whatnot. You know, apparently you can be incredibly careless with classified information and get away with it. Huh, who knew? That's a felony, by the way, but, you know, Comey decided, I guess, under the guise of prosecutorial discretion, that it's not worth pursuing Hillary Clinton over this. I have some audio to play from that. We'll do that when we come back. We'll discuss that a little bit further. And of course, we do have to, at least at some point before the end of the show, touch on, it's kind of a depressing topic, but the other shooting of a black man who was sitting in a car during a traffic stop, ended up getting his arm shot off. Yeah, protecting and serving. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live from the Uptown Auto Repairs Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. You can hear the show 5 nights a week on IPM Nation 2 at 11 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, the television edition Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation TV. I have not pre-listened to this. I scanned through the article, but there is some audio here of James Comey testifying in front of Congress, explaining, I don't know if it was technically testifying, actually, because you can. I know there's a distinction when you go and speak in front of Congress versus actually testifying, because if you testify, you take the oath. But if you just go to speak in front of Congress and answer some questions, you don't necessarily take the oath. But let's see. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and let's hear from James Comey, who up to this point, by the way, was regarded as pretty much a straight shooter, a nonpartisan guy. He used to be a Republican. Republicans and Democrats alike generally have regarded him as above reproach. But this has really kind of caused people to question that, you know. Does this have anything to do, for example, with Loretta Lynch's impromptu meeting on a tarmac in Phoenix? Which that in and of itself has just put a terrible stink on this whole thing. But let's hear from James Comey. Here it is.
Today, representing the people of the FBI, who did this investigation, as they do all their work, in a competent, honest, and independent way. I believe this investigation was conducted consistent with the highest traditions of the FBI. Our folks did it in an apolitical and professional way, including our recommendation as to the appropriate resolution of this case. As I said in my statement on Tuesday, I expected there would be significant public debate about this recommendation, and I'm a big fan of transparency, so I welcome the conversation we're going to have here today. And I do think a whole lot of folks have questions about, so why did we reach the conclusion we did, and what was our thinking? And I hope very much to get an opportunity to address that and to explain it. And I hope at the end of the day, people can disagree, can agree, but they will at least understand that the decision was made and the recommendation was made the way you would want it to be, by people who didn't give a hoot about politics, but who cared about what are the facts, what is the law, and how have similar people, all people, been treated in the past. Maybe I could just say a few words at the beginning that would help frame how we think about this. There are two things that matter in a criminal investigation of a subject. What did the person do? And when they did that thing, what were they thinking? When you look at the 100 years plus of the Justice Department's investigation and prosecution of the mishandling of classified information, those two questions are obviously present. What did the person do? Did they mishandle classified information? And when they did it, did they know they were doing something that was unlawful? That has been the characteristic of every charged criminal case involving the mishandling of classified information. I'm happy to go through the cases in particular. In our system of law, there's a thing called mens rea. It's important to know what you did, but when you did it, this Latin phrase mens rea means, what were you thinking? And we don't want to put people in jail unless we prove that they knew they were doing something they shouldn't do. That is the characteristic of all the prosecutions involving mishandling of classified information. There is a statute that was passed in 1917 that on its face makes it a crime, a felony, for someone to engage in gross negligence. So that would appear to say, well, maybe in that circumstance, you don't need to prove they knew they were doing something that was unlawful. Maybe it's enough to prove that they were just really, really careless, beyond a reasonable doubt. At the time Congress passed that statute in 1917, there was a lot of concern in the House and the Senate about whether that was going to violate the American tradition of requiring that before you're going to lock somebody up, you prove they knew they were doing something wrong. And so there's a lot of concern about it. The statute was passed. As best I can tell, the Department of Justice has used it once in the 99 years since, reflecting that same concern. I know from 30 years with the Department of Justice, they have grave concerns about whether it's appropriate to prosecute somebody for gross negligence, which is why they've done it once that I know of in a case involving espionage. And so when I look at the facts we gathered here, as I said, I see evidence of great carelessness, but I do not see evidence that is sufficient to establish that Secretary Clinton or those with whom she was corresponding both talked about classified information on email and knew when they did it, they were doing something that was against the law. Right? So given that assessment of the facts, my understanding of the law, my conclusion was and remains, no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case. No reasonable prosecutor would bring the second case in 100 years focused on gross negligence. And so I know that's been a source of some confusion for folks. That's just the way it is. I know the Department of Justice. I know no reasonable prosecutor would bring this case. I know a lot of my former friends are out there saying they would. I wonder where they were the last 40 years, because I'd like to see the cases they brought on gross negligence. Nobody would, nobody did. So my judgment was, the appropriate resolution of this case was not with a criminal prosecution. As I said, folks can disagree about that, but I hope they know that view, not just my view, but of my team, was honestly held, fairly investigated, and communicated with unusual transparency, because we know folks care about it. So I look forward to this conversation. I look forward to answering as many questions as I possibly can. I'll stay as long as you need me to stay, because I believe transparency matters tremendously, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Wow, he's good.
Don't go to Paris.
Whoops.
Don't go to that. LA. Don't go to Tokyo.
Sorry about that. That was courtesy of C-SPAN that video came from. Yeah, he's good. Got to give him credit. I mean, he has me almost believing him. No, I mean, honestly, for all we know, because he does have an impeccable reputation, for all we know, he might really believe that that's the correct conclusion. But just because he really believes it, let's assume that he does. Let's assume that, you know, no BS, he really believes everything he's saying and is firm in that belief. Let's assume he's completely honest and above board with that. Because for the first time ever, a lot of people are saying, oh, Comey's in on it and he's protecting Hillary and whatnot, which up until now would have been unthinkable. Nobody ever questioned this man's integrity before that I know of. Okay, so let's give him the benefit of the doubt, hypothetically, theoretically. Just because he firmly believes that, just because this is his conclusion, that doesn't mean that the rest of us have to go, okay, well, if that's what he thinks, then I guess that's how it is. So, you know, even if everything he says is right, I guess he believes it and is acting with integrity, at least as far as he is concerned. That doesn't mean the rest of us should be any less outraged. And by the way, so now look, I'm no legal scholar, clearly, but, you know, he talked about, and it made sense the way he explained it, but he talked about, what do you call it? Mens rea, Latin, something about, you know, if you're investigating someone for having committed a crime, you know, you need to be able to be certain or prove that they knew that they were committing a crime. What's interesting about that is I so often hear people say, well, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So those two ideas, the idea that the concept that on the one hand, if someone does something illegal, but they don't know it was illegal, then you're not supposed to prosecute them. That concept, and the concept of, well, ignorance of the law is no excuse, those two things would appear to me to be diametrically opposed. So which is it? And I understand these things are complicated, so maybe it's not a matter of which is it. Maybe it's maybe it's a matter of specifically which is it on a case-by-case basis. But my understanding is, whether you do it intentionally or not, whether you do it with any kind of nefarious intent or not, mishandling classified information is a felony, period. And it's also my understanding by James Comey's own explanation when he gave that initial statement, not the statement we just heard, but the one where he said that the FBI would not be recommending prosecution. I almost said press conference, but wasn't really a press conference because he didn't take any questions. He came out and gave a statement and that was it. He talked about that it's very possible that the actions of Hillary and her team at the State Department did expose classified information to what he called hostile actors, you know, meaning our foreign enemies. Well, that's pretty bad. That's the one part of that whole thing that really jumped out at me. That to me is the scariest part of the whole deal, is that she may have unwittingly, okay, I get it, not intentionally, she was just careless and negligent, but again, I my understanding is gross negligence with classified information, that constitutes a felony. And you can say, well, or he can say, well, it's not prosecutable because she didn't know. But the problem I have with that is, okay, let's just accept that. Let's put away the opposing concept that ignorance of the law is no excuse. And let's just accept, okay, if she didn't know, I guess it's not really her fault. So that's okay. We're supposed to shrug that off, I guess. But the problem I have with that is, if you're Secretary of State, number one, look, I've never been Secretary of State. I've never worked at the State Department. But just by, you know, basic common sense, I would know that you have to be incredibly careful with classified information and not risk exposing it to our enemies. I would just know that. So she should just know that. It's her job to know that you can't do that, that you shouldn't do that, and that it's against the law for good reason. So that doesn't fly with me. Even if you accept that concept, I don't see how that is an acceptable defense or excuse in this particular scenario. It just doesn't add up to me. He's good, though. He made a good case.
All right, Wilbur. Real conscious connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on Om Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed as we cruise into our final segment tonight on IPM Nation 2 and OTRFM for, well, after tonight, just two more on Om Times Radio. But going forward, of course, you'll be able to hear us five nights a week, as always, right here on IPM Nation 2. We're not going to get very far with it because we are in our last segment. we'll probably have to do some more of this tomorrow night. But got to address, of course, last night on the show, Slicko and I were talking about the shooting in Baton Rouge. You know, the cops, they tackle the kid who was selling CDs. You know, he's sitting on the hood of his car. They tackle him. They get him down on the ground. You know, they've got him. You know, they've got him down, but apparently they felt they had to go ahead and execute him. It's just awful, and there's video of it. And then I'm not going to go through the details. It makes me nauseous to even do so. So, and you know, if you're listening to the show, most likely you already know the details of what happened in Minnesota. This is what I wrote. I'll read you what I wrote on Facebook and then maybe expand on it a little bit in the remaining time that we have. Like I said, we don't really have enough time to do this justice, but I said this. I'm not someone to jump on the cops are bad bandwagon because, unlike most people, I don't buy into the binary thinking of either believing that all cops are heroes and should never be questioned and held accountable, or all cops are evil assholes who can't be trusted with a gun because they love shooting black people at every opportunity. I recognize that both of these can exist, as would be the case with any profession. There are cops that are heroes, cops that are villains, and cops that are any one of a million shades of gray in between. Having said that, one of the common denominators I see in this shooting, the one that just happened in Baton Rouge and many others, is that the cops involved seem to get carried away by the adrenaline of the moment and panicked. I'm no expert in how police are trained, but I do think that they need to be taught to remain calm under pressure and be able to react quickly without necessarily going all Wild West on someone. And I realize those of you who are so ardently pro-police won't quite grasp this, but from my viewpoint, if a traffic stop for a broken taillight ends up with someone dead, I don't think it's a giant leap to suspect that the police involved may have not handled the situation exactly correctly. Part of what I was trying to kind of express with that is, you know, when it comes to any issues or most issues that are divisive in nature, part of what makes it so hard to discuss them and to resolve them in any way is what I think is an issue that I don't hear talked about much, but it's something really insidious in our culture, is what I call binary thinking, where, you know, you have to stake out a position on something and you have to be either all in one way or the other. And it's sort of intellectually lazy, where, you know, people see everything as black and white or red or blue, left or right. You know, I often use abortion as an example because I think abortion is kind of the just a sideline into another issue. But there's a reason I'm bringing it up. Abortion to me is one of the just easiest examples of binary thinking, where you have, you know, people who are pro-choice will very often talk about people who are pro-life as though they're all just a bunch of religious zealots who hate sex and want to have complete control over everyone's reproductive choices. And of course, that's an unfair caricature. I mean, there is some of that, certainly. But not everyone who's pro-life is just a religious zealot who wants to control women's bodies. Of course, pro-lifers will often caricature people who are pro-choice, like myself, as though, you know, we're just a bunch of amoral, bloodlusting baby murderers, and we just love the idea of lots of dead babies, you know. And again, not all pro-lifers will do that, but a lot of pro-lifers do speak about those of us who are pro-choice like we're just evil, Satan-worshipping baby killers. And that is also not fair. But this whole binary thinking thing, that's the ultimate example of it. So people stake out these extreme positions and they assume that if you don't agree with them, you can't find any common ground whatsoever. They're 100% right. You are 100% wrong. And then you just end up talking past each other. You see it all the time on Facebook. Even if someone, you know, if someone posts something political and gets a discussion going, and in the beginning, it may start out, you know, people exchanging ideas and countering each other's points. But one of the reasons I don't get into political arguments on Facebook, I save it for the shows, is I just find it very discouraging, because while it initially may start out as productive and a mature discussion and whatnot, usually very rapidly and a lot of the time almost immediately, it devolves into people name calling each other and doing that binary thinking thing where you don't agree with me, so I have to assume the absolute worst motives about you, and you're obviously stupid, and I know everything, and you don't know anything, and you should go kill yourself because you're so dumb. And it's just such an awful way to have any kind of a dialogue. I'm not saying Facebook is to blame for binary thinking, although I don't think it's helped it, because when people are behind a keyboard, for some reason, they're far less respectful than they would be when they're speaking to someone in person. So maybe some of that depersonalization of our political dialogue that happens on social media, maybe that has contributed to this. I don't know. But you also see this binary thinking with the issue of police shootings, because most people either seem to believe that, oh no, the police, you know, it's that evil media trying to make police out to be bad, and it's the media that's bad. There's no problem here. Police are heroes. They're all great, and they have a hard job, and they're out there protecting and serving, and they're always right, and you should never ever question them. They're heroes, always. You know, there's a lot of people who have that attitude, who are so, that's why I got a little bit sarcastic at the end of the post, where I said, I realize some of you who are so pro-police can't grasp this concept, but when a traffic stop ends up with somebody dead, maybe it needs to be looked into. But it's true. I guarantee you there are pro-police people who read that post and that just totally went over their head, and they will convince themselves that guy in that car had to have his arm shot off so that he bled to death in that car, and that was a completely appropriate response. And of course, on the other side, you've got the people who believe that all police are bad. We carry a show on IPM Nation called Cop Block Radio, hosted by Derek J. Freeman, and it's a great show, and I'm proud that we carry it, but Derek J. is one of those people who says it all the time. It's kind of the unofficial tagline for the show. There are no good cops. He usually says it at the end of every episode. There are no good cops. Well, that's also not true. Are a lot of cops assholes? Yes. The cop who shot that guy's arm off? Yes. He's a terrible human being, and I hope that every day of his life for the rest of his life, karma kicks him in the teeth. And I hope he ultimately dies a slow and miserable death. Yes, there are awful, terrible, evil police who the only reason they have a gun and a badge is because they want to push people around. And I mean, come on, everyone's had the experience of being just pulled over for a traffic thing. And don't get me wrong, I've been pulled over before where the cops have been really nice and friendly, but I've also been pulled over before where the cop had a big freaking attitude just because he could. And oh, I'm the big bad police officer, and you were going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, and I'm going to be all big and intimidating and in your face because, you know, I have a small penis, but I have a gun and a badge. So, you know, we've all had that experience, right? I mean, a lot of cops do suck. But having said that, it's not that simple, because I also know, I know damn well, there are millions of police officers and other members of law enforcement in this country every day who are going out doing the best they can and who genuinely care and want to protect and serve and want to help people and all that. So again, it's not as simple as, you know, whether you're completely pro cop or completely anti cop. either way, you're full of shit. Because you know damn well deep down it's not that simple. But it's so much easier to just try to make it that simple. It's binary thinking and it's lazy. Okay? It is not that simple. And, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of good cops who are good most of the time, but occasionally screw up and have an error in judgment. I'm sure there are bad cops who, yeah, are basically bad, but occasionally have a moment of conscience and clarity and manage to do the right thing. And like I said, in a million shades of gray in between, like in any profession, in any profession. So I just think that if people could figure that out, whether it's this issue with police shootings or any other issue, abortion or any issue, if people would give up the binary thinking and try to actually have a constructive dialogue, we could maybe, I don't know, solve some things. So so that's part of my frustration with this whole thing. I will say this, though, because I know that a lot of the pro-police people, they tend to very often be very very conservative people, you know, conservative Republicans who take that pro-police position. And I have just a very quick observation because we're almost out of time. It's so interesting to me. Conservatives, I mean, God, conservatives love George Zimmerman, for example. I mean, he became a big hero to them. He wouldn't have if Zimmerman had killed a white kid, right? We all know that deep down. You know, I'm not saying conservatives are racist, but come on. If Trayvon had been white, Zimmerman would not have become this big Second Amendment stand your ground hero to conservatives. We all know that. But also, conservatives tend to be very anti-government. They don't trust the government. And yet, they seem to forget that the police are part of the government. And when the police kill somebody who happens to be black, all of a sudden, the government is their friend. Oh, no, those police, they couldn't have done